Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here's a clue to tonight's study. 1 and 2 Timothy, Faith of First Things, Part 2. Christianity is the faith of first things. First God so loved us. First the Son of God so loved us, He came. First the early apostles. First the early church. And the first of beginnings. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 19th day of October, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1 through chapter 17, verse 27, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 through chapter 41, verse 16. The New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 48. Also Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. For the latest articles and radio shows on our site, go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com. The featured posts on this week by the Watchman are Prophecy America and the Nations, On Whom Do You Call? Abraham Lincoln, during the dark days of the Civil War, the president had heard someone asking if the Lord was on the side of the North. It was to this he gave these words that hit to the heart of the matter. I am not at all concerned about that. For I know that the Lord is always on the side of the right. It is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side. Also, America, seven abominations. Count them. In America, seven abominations will you hear. Division, hate, bitterness. Is this what we have become? Who is able to read and understand this? So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the featured post by the Watchman and also listen to the radio shows. And you can follow us on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. Also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. And tonight, here the Apostle Paul directly speaks to Timothy, his son, in the Father as the elder of the faith. He gets down to first things, practical faith things, and those practices which should be carried out and organized within the early believers. It is also important here to note it, that the Apostle in verse 1 says, first of all, before anything else, he instructed Timothy to teach the believers to make supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks for all men. Paul then proceeds with more first things before in-depth doctrinal issues. And now I welcome in the watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. What's going on in the world?
Well, as you pointed out, tomorrow night the witches are going to be gathered in New York to find out that all their efforts are going to be to no avail.
Amen.
Because
that's right.
All we have to do is resist the devil and he will flee from us. And while we have a lot of people that are full of just absolute hatred, and while you can find a whole pile of witches, many of whom are women, which is the spirit of Jezebel, for Jezebel herself actually was responsible for blood guilt, bloody murder, leading Israel along with her husband into the paths of judgment, serving Baal. And, of course, they're going to charge money, and one of the places the money is going to go is to Planned Parenthood, which pushes abortion. Abortion and the killing of innocent life like that is a direct sacrifice unto Baal, a blood sacrifice of innocence, which is... It is meant to give them power, but in this case, it brings judgment upon them. And so we are living in an America that is on the threshold of damnable things, literally. And we have people that has forsaken the Lord God. Matter of fact, I was telling Tower a little bit ago that, you know, a lot of stuff of what we're seeing, we can type it out and we can find it directly in Israel itself, in Judah, the southern kingdom, as well as in the house of Israel and the northern kingdoms, the 10 tribes, exactly. And so it's, you know, it really shouldn't be surprising when we look on America and look at our storied past, a constitutional republic, you know, quotes from like Abraham Lincoln regarding God and making sure that he is... you know, where he needs to be before God, and a lot of other things like that from our history. We've had massive revivals, but today we are on the verge of some of the biggest whoredoms we've ever seen in a nation. And we have people like, well, numerous celebrities who are just so full of hatred. Just... matter of fact, you know, when I see pictures of some of them leading a protest movement of morons, these are people who willingly get led astray, many of whom are, you know, starstruck that the star is so mad and going to lead them to, you know, the next promised land. Well, in this case, there is no next promised land because Rosie O'Donnell, you know, she isn't going to make it if she don't repent. And some of the others, they are... absolutely. Matter of fact, when you get so full of hatred, you are ugly, just pure but ugly, because you're so full of hate and rage. And that's the problem, you know. And so it is a battle of light and darkness. And while there may be people that wants to carry on the conversation to try to convince them, you ain't gonna get anywhere with Rosie O'Donnell. Matter of fact, there's been a number of people that's appeared on her show, and I can't remember who that was not too long ago, and she cursed the woman off the set.
Oh, was that Judge Jeanie or somebody like that?
Yeah, it was somebody. Yeah, she was on, and she just got livid, and away she went, you know, and so she is absolutely livid, and we see the same thing from some of them from that are on CNN and CBS Late Night and NBC. There's a lot of these talk show hosts that these knuckleheaded producers don't correct whatsoever, and that's because it's all about the almighty dollar.
Yep.
These people have a certain amount of leverage, and so you got misled, gullible Americans and others who are listening to them, You know, and so that's what you get when you take the Bible out of the schools, when you decide to crack down on Christianity and Christian businesses. That's what happens when the pastors in the churches stop preaching the gospel and standing up against sin. This is what happens when you have a lukewarm and need of nothing church. And this is what happens when you have a people that are amassed in wealth and prosperity and time to do nothing. This is one of the gravest sins we are in today. And, you know, while you have all the left, you know, Tower, that are raging like just absolute demonic, you know, sirens out of the pit of hell, you have Trump, who's passed another milestone. As I was telling you earlier, his administration has appointed more judicial, judges than any other person in history. This was during the 2 years he's been in office. He's done it more than anybody else that's ever been in there.
That's exciting. Good for him.
Yeah, because, you know, I forgot the name of the thing, but he did get, like Kavanaugh, he got Kavanaugh from a list from a regular group of judges and resources like that. I forgot the name of the group. It's very, very respected, and they make nominations and suggestions for the Supreme Court and stuff.
Huh.
And Trump,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Kavanaugh was top on the list, and so Trump got him through. So, you know, today, you need, if you're a Christian, you hear this before tomorrow night. What is tomorrow night? The
20th. The 20th of October, 2018.
So all the witches are going to be gathered, and they're going to be doing their thing tomorrow night in front of crowd and hexing and doing all this baloney.
It's to a sold-out crowd, mind you.
Well, it's going to be a sold-out crowd, Tara, because they are in New York. New York is the whore of whores.
Babylon itself.
Yeah. New York is home base. This is actually where Trump is at. But remember, his house was on the top of New York. He was overlooking everything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Trump move somewhere else. And the reason being, he's come up a notch from what he was. So I don't know exactly... it doesn't surprise me that it's sold out. I could care less. The bottom line of it is that this is not going to accomplish anything.
Nope.
There is no doubt that there's a lot of young people that follow after witchcraft. But you can stop witchcraft by the power of the Lord and the Word of God and prayer and binding. And, I can see this is the same thing, you know, when the Lord allowed stuff to come against Israel, it's because the people were backslidden.
Mm-hmm.
When they got right with God, everything went all right. And now we're divided, a house divided, cannot stand. I've been telling you that. I mentioned all this during the eclipse.
The Lord said that.
Yeah. God help us. But... the bottom line of it is, no matter what they do, even if they were to succeed in taking over America and killing every Christian or every follower of Trump that they want to do anyway, and they're open about it. You know, that's the thing. I mean, it's just absolutely astounding how people can go around saying, I'm going to kill all the supporters of Trump all the time. Nobody does anything. If I was the president, I'd lock their butts up.
That's what they should do.
You know, if you're going to be an idiot about it. But, that's the way it is. But the whole world is in this universal chaos right now. So we really do see the end of days coming to play here in the lawlessness. And this is really, Paul's lawlessness he spoke about in 2 Thessalonians 2. This is it. And it's only going to get worse from here. It's just one of those things. And So if you don't live in America, count yourself for good. And if you're coming up in the caravan, turn around and go back home, because you ain't going to want to be here. I said this during Obama's time, too. Anybody that comes into America from here on out is going to face the judgment that this nation is going to face. I've been warning for many years about the judgment. It has not gone anywhere. We're still in the middle of it. We're probably not even in the middle of it, but we're experiencing a lot of these things as a result of God judging America.
That's right.
And, you know, you're just not going to want to be here. You're not going to want to be in the inner cities, and if you are already getting yourself prepared, you better start buckling up, because especially if you're going to be around a polling place, all hell's going to break loose in some of these cities. And you can blame the Democrats, you can blame Soros, who doesn't believe in God anyway, you can blame a lot of people, but the devil's behind it. And because the people are full of pride and not willing to repent and admit when they're wrong, they're going to send themselves to hell full of pride. And that's the way it works. God help us. They will kill. They will destroy just to make sure that you get the point. It's just like two guys in the boat fighting over whose boat it is. And the one guy says, it's mine to prove it. I'm going to sink it. So he sinks the boat and they both drown. And in hell, they're both standing there. And he says, well, I won the argument. Yeah, you did, but you're in hell. You see, the problem of it is today is people don't have that understanding. And there's a reason. And that reason is God can actually cause people to see a lie. As he said, I will choose your delusions. Bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer. And America, that's God's call to you. You didn't listen. You have a few Christian leaders standing up now. We have some successes, but you're not out of the woods, America. Not by a long shot. You have so many enemies right now. And if you're not careful, you're going to wake up tomorrow. And you're not going to believe what happens.
Scary thought.
It is. So at any rate, on a lighter note, the Lord is coming.
Thank God.
I know. Thank God is right. I'm telling you. It's just unbelievable. And, it's just one of those things. And, of course, when you're as busy as we've been, time goes by fast. I just can't even believe how fast time's been going.
Oh, I know.
But we did watch the interview on CBN of Pastor Brunson and his wife.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Yeah, very moving, emotional.
Yes.
Show, and there's no doubt about it. They both know what they want. Their heart is to serve the Lord in missions, period. And he said they're going to serve the Lord. Make no mistake about it. So, we've prayed for him. We wanted him to get released, and we're glad to see him released.
Amen.
But when you go overseas as a missionary, like the Assemblies of God and their missions program, unless they changed it, if you get caught by or put in prison or something for your faith, the Assemblies of God is not going to raise any money for you. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
So I don't know who Pastor Brunson is with, but a lot of these missionary organizations, because when they go over there, it's so dangerous. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, if you go over as a missionary or go over as an evangelist, you have to have counted the cost ahead of time and be prepared never to come back. That's counting the cost. And so, at any rate, Remember to pray for Asiya Bibi and Leah Sheribu for deliverance.
Yes.
From their captivities. Both Christians. Both being persecuted for their faith.
Both need delivered out.
Yeah, literally. And we've talked about them. And other than that, you know, I did watch a little bit of, after the show last night, I caught the last portion of the Denver football game with somebody.
Cardinals? Oh,
Cardinals, yeah. I don't watch the NFL much, and I will not watch it if they're going to kneel and won't stand for the flag. But I was listening to the announcers, and, you know, a lot of these guys make a ton of money. And, you know, you don't realize that there's a lot of people that make a lot of money that are neither Christian, and they're not necessarily a heathen. They just are busy making money. And for them, everything's fine. They don't worry about the young wife like Asiya, who is facing a death penalty, or was given the death penalty. They don't worry about the young girl that's 15-year-old and was taken captive by ISIS and is going to keep her as a slave forever. They don't worry about a lot of the stuff. They just go to work and do their job and make lots of money. Now, there was a few on ESPN and some others that the sports commentators were really anti-Trump. One of them was a woman. They did fire. I can't remember what network she was on. But I was listening to him talk last night. And, you know, it just, you can tell being out of touch with certain things. And, you know, I think of all those people. I don't know if they even know what's going on. And they probably never thought a second thought about Obama either. So it's kind of wondering, you know, when you get at that point in your life, do you even know what's going on at all? You know,
I think that they're blinded by the busyness of the world. The kids in the sports, the kids are busy with everything, and as long as they're making their money and paying their bills and living in their house and things are going well for them, they're not concerned about what's going on.
Yep, and that's true. And around here, people are caught up with their kids, and we have a little ballpark over here, and that's the place year-round. And it's filled with families and children from little itty-bitty tykes, you know. And if they're not playing soccer, they're playing football. If they're not playing football, they're playing softball or something.
Then there's wrestling and basketball.
It's everything you could think of. And that park, it's a big park. We got several of them just like it. And they're packed with people and their children. We don't pack out the churches like that, but we sure pack out the ballparks.
Yep. That's a fact.
So at any rate, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Alrighty. We need to get into the Word of God tonight. First and Second Timothy, Faith of First Things. There's a lot of things I could have titled this. But in the first verse, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 15, Paul tells Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And that's good. Especially if you consider that you're living in the Roman Empire. And if you were praying for the Caesar and his government, that it would be not purely Antichrist or something that would function to where you could live your life. You could pray for him, and those prayers would... And that's the idea when you pray for your government and things like that. The idea is that the blessing of God will ride on them, unless, of course, the judgment of God is on that. Now, supplication and prayers are often used to denote the same thing, according to Albert Barnes, who has a lot of commentary on these kind of things. But when we look at supplications, we call them a petition. Like if you were writing out a petition to put before, you know, the city council or before the president or something, and you needed something done, you would write it, you know, for your sense of need, the reason that you were doing it. And so it's more of a sense of need with an urgency. You know, we interceded, and at the same time we made supplication. But let's go on, and then we'll bring these together. Prayers can refer to supplication for protection, for help, or shelter. Now, when I talk about prayer, I talk about prayers in general, which can cover the gamut. Prayer can cover the gamut of worship, supplication, and intercession. Because intercession is when you intercede, you make prayers and pleas on the behalf of others. Just as there's an intercessor between God and man, who is Christ Jesus, we can intercede on the behalf of others. Now see, we interceded for Pastor Brunson, Asiya Bibi, Leah Sherabu, and of course in the times past we've interceded for Americans held captive in North Korea, and for others that were held captive in Iran, and many other instances. And so intercession can fall within the confines of your prayers, and prayers can also have the worship of God within it. And, you know, when you talk about the prayer portion of this, you do want to praise him. You want to approach him in that respect. And then you also want to check your spirit if there's something you need to confess and ask the Lord to forgive you. Because God makes that allowance for us. Supplications, when you get into the urgency now, see, if you start out and you're praising him and you go through the worship self-examination and you start praying in general for people around the world, that can be, you know, we will mention the churches, we will pray for them, we'll pray for whoever comes to mind. But then there comes in the special prayer, the special intercession and supplication. And both supplication and intercession can happen at the same time for the same person. And so you're interceding on the behalf of others, but you're also supplicating on the behalf of someone else, although here the definition is from your sense of need. Now see, I don't turn around and supplicate for hours about something I need. That just, I don't do that. I supplicate for people like Asiya Bibi and others who need it. And intercession is connected to that because we are interceding to God on her behalf to help her and strengthen her. But at the same time, we're supplicating because we really, personally, and as a brother or sister in Christ, want to see her delivered. So that's where the supplication is. The intercession is when you do it on her behalf. The supplication is when you do it on her behalf, but also it's your sense of need as well. As a brother or sister in Christ, we are supposed to identify with him, and we're supposed to pray for him in that manner. So this is how we put supplication, prayers, and intercession together. And then, of course, the giving of thanks, which is something that is very, very, very important. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you should be giving thanks throughout the day, worshiping the Lord. You know, Jacob worshiped God on the staff, and I imagine you can talk about Moses and Abraham and others. They all carried staffs, walking through the desert, you know, looking up, and just leaning on that staff, praising God. So, within the confines of this, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. And, you know, I do think that not only do we thank God for the obvious things, for instance, well, it's a beautiful day out, beautiful night out, you have a nice house, your kids are healthier, whatever it is. But, you know, you give thanks that God is able to do things through other people. And so this is where Paul puts it in, give thanks. You give thanks for the kings, for all that are in authority. And he tells you why, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, see, that's what most people want. And, you know, they want to just be able to lead a quiet life and be peaceable. Now, we're living in the end of days, okay? And it's not the very end of days. And the major part of the tribulation is yet to come. But we are living in a time that is very lawless, very perilous. And also, within the confines of this, in this day, there's a lot of conflict, and there's a lot of people and a lot of the earth that does not have peace. So if you can find a quiet and peaceable life in any way, shape, or form, and being able to live in all godliness and honesty, that's a good thing to do. Now, I know of people who are Christians, and they live in a place that is pretty much quiet and peaceable, and they can do what God's called them to do, but yet all around them, you know, there can be chaos going on, but they themselves are in this peace of God. Now, when we get into the midst of the tribulation, I mean, any part of this, I mean, having the peace of God on the inside while you're going through the tribulation on the outside is the key. And it's hard today, living as Christians, when you turn around and see how wicked people are, and how many of those who don't agree with Trump are willing to beat up anybody that supports him. They call for him to be killed, and anybody that supports him. They're openly, you know, even Pelosi and others that are in the leadership who know better are calling for more of this. And this is evil. This is wicked. Because you get enough of this, the other side is going to get to the point where they're getting tired of it. And then it gets out of control and people get killed. But see, the whole point that Paul was talking about, that when you pray for everybody that's around you, people that are in authority in your country and your politics, in order to bring in a quiet and a peaceable life so that people can live their lives and people can become redeemed. People can, you know, find that place to serve God. And he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's true. He will. He would have all men to be saved, but not all men are going to be saved, or women either for that matter. And the reason they're not Well, the Lord talked about that. John mentions that. When you get into John chapter 3, of course, we read 3:16. But you go beyond 3:16 in the context of that, you find out that the Lord says that people love darkness. And because they love darkness, they're not going to come to the light. They're not going to come to the light to be saved. Now see, in all of this chaos that we see, in which we live in, though, we are seeing something else. Even Pastor Brunson brought it out. That in Turkey itself, a lot of the people who used to be known as Muslims now are calling themselves deists, and they're moving away from Islam, which opens them up to come to the knowledge of the truth. He expects a big revival there. We've been reporting on the advocacy thing on Wednesday night that we do about all the Muslims that are becoming Christian and getting saved. And this is something that's ongoing all the time. And this is the reports from the field by the ministries who are there. And so we see all of this happening. Now see, God wants all men to be saved, and you would think that people will come, you know, and when you have a quiet and peaceable life, oh yeah, sure, they will see God and come to the Lord. No, they won't. Some of the worst places for the Christian to be is in places that are, you know, have it all. You know, there it's beautiful. I mean, you can look at Jackson Hole, you can look at the Grand Tetons, you can look at Hawaii, you can look at a lot of different places where it looks like a paradise to live in. It's perfect all the time. A lot of times people get so caught up in that lifestyle, they forget about God altogether. And so in these end days, the thing that's stirring a lot of these Muslims and others, it is the chaos that's going on, and they begin to seek and look around, and that's when God can deal in their hearts. Because the point here Paul makes in verse 5 is, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now see, this is the one who interceded for himself. He had to be fully God and fully man, who gave himself as a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And so there is a mediator, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who the Lord is. He is the Word. He was in the beginning with God. He is the Word incarnate. And of course, he was born again a man to come so that he could be that sacrificial lamb by dying on the cross, fulfilling the law, atoning of the blood covenant, the removal of sins, the justification by faith. Because you believe God and it becomes imputed unto you for righteousness' sake, the very thing that happened to Abraham. Because he too believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So you believe God in what he says in this, and when you do by faith, God imputes this relationship, this born-again nature, which is produced in you through the Spirit of God, which comes in. And he did give himself a ransom for all. For every man, woman, and child on this earth. But the unfortunate thing of it is, there's a lot of them that will never see him. And there's probably a lot of children that won't see him, because a lot of them have been perverted at a young age. And I can tell you, over in the Gaza Strip, you know, you have a bunch of kids, and they've been trained, and their parents were trained, and their grandparents were trained. You've had several generations since Arafat came out, and he started that process, teaching the children in school over there blood hatred of the Jews. And they've lived with that teaching for generations now, several generations. And that's all they know. And they're raised in hatred. You have kids that are over in Africa and other places that are kidnapped and taken by Islamists and forced to go kill for the name of Allah. You have children who are in Iran who are taught to get into the Republican Guard and be in the army for Allah. So this is what happens when you take a child. And in America, we're doing the same thing. We're turning them away from that innocency that God intended for kids. And we begin filling them full of filth and lies. And we do this in America. There's all kinds of lies we tell our kids, and that's why you have so many of them at a young age. Girls thinking they're boys, boys thinking they're girls. Some of them even losing their breasts, the girls, at an early age. These are the reports that came across my desk. And then, of course, who do we believe is God now in America? Well, we don't know anymore. Because while we have a few people that stand up against these witches, for the most part, the big mega churches don't say anything. We hear very little. And I can tell you, most of your mainline news channels will never tell you from the Christian standpoint. You have CBN that'll report it. I don't know what TBN will do. I don't listen to them. But you have a few others. But really, we are a pagan nation where Christians live. We've been aborting babies longer than you can shake a stick at, and we've got more innocent blood shed, and we're responsible for more of that than any other generation before. And for all those that think the problem in America is homosexuality, that's wrong. Matter of fact, you got so many different kinds of sins there to just blame a bunch of homosexuals and lesbians as being the culprit. That's wrong. They can get saved too. Matter of fact, the thing that sunk Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't homosexuality. It was one of the things, but it wasn't the main one. Pride was the main one. And we got all kinds of pride. You can see it on the streets where there are riots. Antifa has pride. Feminists have pride. And all the rest of them have their pride. Everybody has pride. Pride goes before a fall. Now Paul then in verse 7 says, "Where am I? I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity," or faith and truth. And see, he put right in the middle of all this, after talking about one God and one mediator between God and man. Now see, when he was in the Sanhedrin, when he was, a Jew of the Jews, and one that kept the law blamelessly. I mean, he was well known in the area. If he hadn't become a Christian, he'd have been a rich man, very, very important. However, the Lord got a hold of him, and he became one of the top enemies of the Jews of his day. But see, he went out and he preached Christ. He went to the Gentiles. He argued with the Jews too. But he told them after a while, he says, "Your blood be on your own heads. I go to the Gentiles." In verse 8 he says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Now you see, you get the gist of what he's telling Timothy here. First Timothy chapter 2. The importance of prayer in everyone's life is illustrated. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, they have something in war. that if you want to surrender, you throw out your arms, all your weapons, and you lift your hands up high in the air. That's surrendering. So Paul says, I will that men everywhere, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. See, when you lift up your hands to God in praise and worship, you're surrendering yourself to Him. You're worshiping Him in spirit and truth, and you're saying, God, I surrender everything. I'm yours. Now that's scary for some people. It's probably scary for more people than you'd care to admit. Because when you talk about the cost of servitude, and that's a little bit of what Pastor Brunson was talking about today, the cost. He said he had counted the cost over in Turkey about the other things. He says there was a lot of things to watch out for. We had been threatened with death. And so, you know, they were careful. They knew the threats. But he said we never counted the cost we'd be put in prison, because in Turkey it never happened in all the time he'd been there in over 20 years. People would be put in there for other reasons and then released. But when this coup happened, both him and his wife were thrown in prison. She was eventually released. But she didn't at all expect to be put in prison. And he wanted to be with her, and she wanted to be with him, and they were separated. For 2 years he was in prison. And she was on the outside waiting. Neither one of them knew if they were ever going to be released. They didn't have privy to all the news we had. They didn't know what was really going on. He had heard a few things. But he said, I didn't count the cost of being put in prison. He said, I'd counted the cost on all the other things that went on in Turkey. Not going in. Nobody got thrown in prison like that, like he did. But here he was in prison. And he said the first year was the toughest. And he said he cried out. He said, Lord, you got the wrong man. And he says, and Tower and I talked about this, and this is so true, because we do that. And I don't ever want you to get the wrong idea here. You know, we talk about the glories and what God is doing and things. But make no mistake, when we talk about suffering for Christ, there's no human glory in that. The glory is when you get before the Lord. See, it's not called suffering for nothing. And you're in your body, and your body is weak, and it doesn't like to suffer. Suffering for Christ is just that. That's the cost. And see, there are Muslims today that are so wicked that they will do anything to Christians in order to get them to repent and become a Muslim. And he spent 50 days in isolation. And of course, you know, if you're married, you've been with your wife for a long time, you both have callings for the mission field, you work together as a team, you don't want to be separated, but you were. It was tough on both of them. But see, that's the cost. And see, when we talk and we preach and we go through all of this, make no mistake, when we talk about glory, you have people that are in prison, that's not glory, that's suffering. Okay? Now, in the eyes of the Lord, when you suffer for His name's sake, you will get a reward. But see, that's standard practice. See, this is what we got wrong in America. Because we went so many generations of a blessed nation, a unified nation pretty much. But we have removed God from just about every aspect of our life. Our churches and pastors stopped preaching the gospel, stopped calling out sin, standing up for it. And so now trouble's here. Now see, you're not suffering much for Christ. You haven't shed any blood in America for being a Christian, I suppose. But you go overseas, and there's a cost. There's going to be a cost here, too. Because the American church is not going to get out of here without it. And I don't care what prophet tells you that that's not true. He's a liar. Do not listen to him. This church in America is headed for trouble. Now, having said that, I don't know when that's going to come, but it is going to come. And you may get through this stint in America fine without no problems, but this is coming. Now, see, Paul found out what it was like to be in prison. But see, it's really interesting, though, when you see people overseas and they're suffering in a jail, and we do our little tweets and we do our little shows and we do everything that we do. But see, really, the focus is on God to see that they get released. But the marching orders, as I said last night, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto the death. That is the marching orders for this period of time going through the tribulation. They loved not their lives unto the death. And he didn't even know, or his wife knew, that they were going to get out of there. There was a lot of rumors. But he said one moment he was standing before the judges, and they're getting ready to sentence him, and he knew they were preparing to throw him away for the rest of his life. And the next day, he was sitting in a seat next to Donald Trump in the White House. That's how quick it happened. Now you see, today we've got Christians all over the world that are going through stuff. We have Christians in North Korea that have been in these camps there all their life after they got caught for whatever it was. And in some of these camps, it's so bad there's nothing to eat except grass. I don't know what it is like now, but when we were following some of this stuff, we haven't gotten any reports out of there for a long time. China is cracking down. The whole world is restless today and on the verge of the apocalypse. You have America that's right on the verge of apocalypse with personalities like Pelosi and her trio of gals that are always there. Waters as well. And all kinds of Hollywood types, screaming bloody murder, screaming hang him in the White House, screaming beat them all up, get rid of them, chase down every supporter, get rid of them. I mean, this is where we're at. This is a dangerous time in America, and we are one firebomb away from full-blown civil war. And yet in the midst of this, Trump has managed to overturn everything that Obama did. He's managed to get a conservative court for the first time in decades. Full conservative, leaning to the conservative. They hate that so much that they're wanting Kavanaugh out at any way possible, and they welcome witches putting a hex on Kavanaugh. They're willing to make a deal with the devil in order to get Kavanaugh out there, get Trump out of the White House, and get the power. That is the whore of Babylon. That is the darkness that's on the land called America today. And if you are in any kind of a light today, in any kind of a peace today, then you better thank God for it. But today, you and I, every one of us need to pray everywhere for all people, lifting up holy hands, interceding for those overseas, praying for our families. You need to put up armor around your children. You need to bind the devil from them. You need to set forth the warrior angels round about them. You need to bind. You need to loose spiritual warfare. And you need to be praying for your family and your friends. And you need to pray protection, because the devil means business. And I'll tell you, it's one thing to say, well, you know, I'm just prepared to go through the tribulation. It's one thing to really do it. You see, Jeremiah and the other apostles, I mean prophets, you know, they lived in a time given a message that wasn't welcomed at all by the children of Israel. And so it got so bad for Jeremiah that he decided he wasn't going to speak anymore. Anything that God told him to. He was a prophet. He had to. But he said, I'm not going to do it. God told him to repent. Finally, Jeremiah said, I had to speak because the fire within me was so great I couldn't hold it back. See, it wasn't easy for Jeremiah to go through what Jeremiah had to go through. And there were other people in Israel at the time who weren't evil. They were okay. But yet they had to go through it too. And today we are here in America, and the world is on fire and chaos and oppression. And you have every kind of group crying bloody murder. You got 4,000 illegals coming to the border saying, we have rights, we deserve to be in America. Why do they deserve? Just because they have rights? Well, see, the problem of it is 90% of them probably came from a socialist country that isn't doing so well. But see, they'd be coming to a country, when you look at the millennials in this land, I think it was 60-some percent of them want socialism or a related form. Those are the kids that are going to be in charge of the government when everybody retires, folks. So if it isn't going to get here in my day, it is going to get here in my kids, my grandkids' day or my great-grandkids' day. Because we've got 60% of the young people out there that are backing the Democrats' call for socialism. This country is shaking on a foundation. You've got most of Americans, especially in Hollywood, who are so rich they could care less about the foundations of America. And yet we've got 4,000 testimonies of people that can't find a better place to live than America, because we are the land of the free and the home of the brave. We've got constitutions here. We take care of the people. But no more, because we have forsaken the Lord God. We've thrown everything off, and the churches here are silent. You have a few voices that are up there, but I tell you tonight, as we look at Timothy, this is a good place to remind ourselves God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, that there is a mediator, that he's in charge, he's the Almighty, and there are those of us who are ordained to do things in the name of the Lord as his servant, preach and teach. But we're all together in this, and we need to pray, lift up holy hands, be thankful to God, thank him for every day you get. Thank him. Thank you, Lord, for another day of grace. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sky, the beautiful day. Thank him for the health of your family. Thank him when things go okay. Like Pastor Brunson being released, that's good. If we see a Beebe, that's another one we want let loose. And my prayer to the Lord for her is that she gets out, gets with her families, and they take her someplace where she never has to be afraid again, and her family can be safe. But folks, today in America and the world, trying to be safe, trying to live your life that's peaceable, and this is just what Paul is talking about, a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, you can't find it today in the world. Anywhere you go, there's turmoil, there's trouble. You can't even go to Hawaii without running into something. They've had a mess over there. Oh, God, this is the last days. These are the times of the end, and we can tell from the fruits. Paul goes on to say, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, folks, we don't live in this kind of a society. We live in a society where there are women that are godly, and there are men that are godly, but there's men that are evil and women that are evil, and there is a lot of Jezebels in this nation today. And they're leading their children into the pit of hell. But if you were to stand up and say, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, and suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority, man, you'd get run out on the rail. But that's how Paul plainly put it down. Now, if you read Scripture, you will know that there were other prophetesses there that the Apostle Paul, you know, knew about. You can find him in Acts. He's not talking about women not having any kind of a role. But in the church, the patriarchal role model is biblical. But does that mean a woman cannot be ordained? No. And I know that when Catherine Coleman went into her healing ministry, she was talking one time about why God chose her. And she said that God chose her because there was no men willing to do it. So she took up the mantle. There's no reason God can't use a woman. But when you look at how easy it is for women to get together in gossip, like we see in some of these shows on television, they're nothing but shame-faced gossip. And the words that come out are fire. They burn like hell and cause the destruction of souls. Venom and every evil thing coming out of their lips. I see, as a Christian woman, there is a place, and a woman can. She can be a prophet. She can teach. She can preach. But if there is someone already duly anointed, some guy. You're not to usurp his authority just because you want to be the one in charge. Now, Paul does say that for Adam was first formed and then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. I mean, he pinpoints it. Now, you can't tell any of the women today this. I mean, on a grand scale. You really can't even touch on this subject. Because America or the world, you know. And then, of course, you get into the Muslim world where you see the women so oppressed. And that's not right either. You know, as the old saying goes, Adam was formed from, Eve was formed from Adam's rib so she could be at his side, his partner, working together. She wasn't formed for him from his feet in order to be walked on. And when we're living in society today, we need to work together in faith. But he does say that notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in the faith with charity and holiness and sobriety. You know, the bottom line on this is that if you have a woman, if she does what she's supposed to do and has a man and they're in a family, and she serves God in a godly manner, in faith and love and in holiness, then she will assure her salvation. Now, this doesn't mean that you know, this has anything to do with her bearing children, as far as bearing a child, that she's going to be saved. And but in her everyday life as a woman, whose role it is to bear and train children and keep the household, and as long as she does that in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety, being alert and sober, in other words, knowing what's around you at all time, what the threats are, then she'll assure her salvation because she's doing what she's supposed to. But the problem today is a lot of the women work. They have to. And then, of course, we have the end of the days, which talks about the natural affection being perverted, loss of natural affection, the God-given natural affection of a man for a woman, or a woman for her own children, or a woman for a man. All the natural affections today that were regularly God-given are corrupted today. And in society, you can see that corruption. And we are pushing the limits of godliness. We are pushing the limits of that which is good and right and that which is anathema. And we love our darkness more than light. But if you find a godly family, a woman who is righteous in all of her ways, then that's a woman that you can truly trust. And I've been in meetings where I've seen lots of women just like that. A natural beauty, an innocent, but they're full of faith and justice. They may not come out and just tell you, but if you talk to them or if you withstand them in some way, they know how to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And we need godly women, and we need godly men, and we need this for the children so we can save some. Because right now, many of your kids are deceived. Many of your children are confused. And it's meant to be that way because the devil brings confusion, and he has minions in the schools and other places that use that confusion for little Johnny or Sally in order to get them totally screwed up. And they do this on purpose. Just like that thing they were doing in the schools not too long ago we talked about, where some guy was dressing in drag and going talking I think it was 4 and 5 year olds in school in kindergarten. See, and of course these kids all think it's really neat at first, you know, they don't realize that the role model is screwed up here. We are in serious trouble, and for anybody to stand up in any church, any Christian leader, and say America's fine does not know the day and the hour that we're in. They are totally bereft of the truth. Stay away from them. Because we've got serious, serious underpinnings in this nation that have been destroyed. The foundations have been removed. And any time you can have a regular sold out crowd just to watch a bunch of idiot females and their warlock friends do hexes because they lost the fight when it comes to Kavanaugh, then we're in trouble. Because this is just like the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And I'll tell you what needs to happen. We need Elijah here on the night that they're gathered, and he needs to call fire down upon the sacrifice and let it lick up the evil. And there will be fire. And that will be when they face God. But see, in the Old Testament, they didn't mess around with it. They put up with it for a long time. Until Elijah got in on it. You didn't mess with him. And see, I wonder where the churches are today. And if you're a Christian hearing this, you tell your friends that are believers, they need to be praying. Now, the Old Testament's quite plain. Suffer not a witch to live. Now, we can thank God. You can thank God you're not in the Old Testament in the time of Israel, because those witches would have been beheaded or burned alive. But see, we are in the New Testament covenant. And Christ died for those witches. Those women over there who were deceived by this spirit of witchcraft and sorcery, that is a spirit out of the pit of hell, that demons come and work these miracles, and if they're sent to a particular miracle to perform, if they go there and they can't overcome them, they will go back and torment the one who sent them. Christ died for them. We don't kill them. We want them saved and delivered. How would you like that? And all the witches up on the stage all of a sudden see the light, and they all take off and throw down their robes, grab the curtains, and cover themselves up. And on the stage burn all of their little accoutrements. And repent in tears before a crowd of bloodthirsty people who are so mad that they repented of what they were doing. You want a miracle? That's the kind of miracle you need. But God gave us a choice. Christ came But God said, I'm not going to force them. They have to choose and believe and follow me. They that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we don't fight evil with evil. We fight evil with Christ. Being found in him. He does the work. He sends the angels. He does the binding. We pray, but he does it. Excuse me. There's a lot of evil in the world, but no matter how evil and rotten and terrible we are, God is able to save to the uttermost if you will let him. So the one thing that Paul does to Timothy in this 1 Timothy 2, he gives him a lot of first things to do, practical things to do, so that they can live their life as followers of the Lord and live it in peace, live their life in godliness, and live their life as honest citizens of the Roman Empire. But see, the time would be coming when the Christians would be rounded up and they would be taken into the arena, pulled apart by elephants, eaten alive by lions, killed, murdered in the front of Roman citizens and an emperor who thought he was God, and they would riot in laughter and drunkenness as they watch Christians slaughtered before them. The devil's been down this road before. He had the entire Roman Empire. He's going to have another one. It's called Mystery Babylon, and that spirit within Mystery Babylon is going to deceive the nations, which it already has. And the devil, when he comes into power, Revelation 18, he is going to take up that mantle of destruction, of darkness, which he has been given for a temporary time. And you're going to need every bit of strength. But one day he is coming. He may not come when you think he is, but he is coming again. And when he does, he will put a stop to this. For he himself says, unless the days be shortened, there would be no flesh left alive. So in Paul denied a lot of firsts. For us here in America today, we've been doing a lot of these firsts for a lot of years in this country, and we've had peace, relatively so. We've had world wars and conflicts. We got through World War II as the winner. Came out of it fine. But we are in a different age now, a different time period. And in America, as Christians, we have to fight to keep this country what we would want it to be for our children. If you lose this fight, it'll fall on your kids' heads. And I don't like that. Especially when I know some of the kids that are in the wings want socialism and they're anti-God, most of them. We are in trouble. As a society and as a people and as a race called the human beings. The devil is going to open up every kind of trick there is and lie It's just too bad in America we can't have a civil discussion that we hate so much when the others win. There's no sportsman, there's no shaking hands, there's blood, vengeance, and vows. That's what we get. Pelosi's threatened. If you don't go our way, collateral damage is okay. She wants to be Speaker of the House. Wouldn't you want her in there? Be like trying to make a deal with Attila the Hun. Well, let's see, you can do it my way, or we will impale you on the stake over there. Now, which do you want? The stake? Fine, we can do that. I got 100 of them out there staked out already. One more ain't going to do any good. The birds are eating them, and they love them. Attila the Hun did that, along with a few other warriors, bloodthirsty, murdering suckers. I watched ISIS go through the Middle East as everybody else did. I was reporting it every day. And I saw some of the stuff they were doing, and I couldn't believe these people could even look themselves in the mirror. Totally bereft of any goodness. Not knowing what truth is. Today, the only truth is going to lie in the hearts of the believers in Jesus Christ who are filled with His Spirit, walking in His Word, and being obedient to His voice. Folks, that's what we need to be doing, and that is what Paul is telling his people in this chapter here, the practical advice of which he gives. But we are way beyond the simplicity of what America used to be. We have fallen off the cliff. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Father, fill us with peace. Fill those that hear this with peace and not terror. Help them to seek your face and to find truth. You warned us, Lord, of these end of days. But we're here and we have to walk. Many have children and loved ones, Father. We need your hand, we need your spirit, we need your word, and we need your truth. Guide us and direct us in these end of days so that when we come to the end, we can stand before you with the sheaves and you will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, here we are. You know, I wish it wasn't so. The way things were. But God can give you peace in these days and in this situation. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Yeah. If we allow, if we do the right things, you know. But if you don't take time, you ain't going to have that peace.
And the peace doesn't come from the drugs, you know.
Yeah. Well, that kind of peace ain't going to last long, but that's true. Well, at any rate, we're going to have to be getting out of here.
Well, enjoy your Shabbat, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Pray for America and pray these wicked people are stopped. Pray for your president. Thank God for every day you have. We love you, and we pray for you, and we truly appreciate you and all you do. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Well, we thank you. Don't forget the websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. read the articles, listen to these shows, share them around all your social and with your friends. Seek the Lord. Look unto Him. The final matter of this is getting to the end, being with your Lord. So,
amen.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you on the flip side next week. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows, so we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at bmwnyc.com. BMW of Manhattan, driven by more.